Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. Imagine a river that has been the subject of a treaty for more than six decades, now becoming the flashpoint of a new diplomatic standoff. This is exactly what is happening on the Chenab in Jammu and Kashmir. Pakistan has formally invoked the Indus Waters Treaty of 1960. Demanding information and consultations from India over the Sawalkot hydroelectric project, a massive 1,856-megawatt scheme on the Chenab in the Ramban district. At the same time, India is speeding up the project by issuing a tender worth 5,129 crore rupees through the National Hydroelectric Power Corporation, with bids to be opened between the 12th and 20th of March 2026. This move comes after New Delhi announced the suspension of the treaty following the Pahalgam terror attack, which it attributes to groups linked to Pakistan. Now let us turn to the historical context of the treaty itself. The Indus Waters Treaty was signed on the 19th of September 1960 by Prime Minister Jawaharlal Nehru of India and President Ayub Khan of Pakistan, with the World Bank acting as the broker. It stands out as one of the most durable water-sharing agreements in the world, having survived three full-scale wars between the two neighbors, the conflicts of 1965, 1971, and the Kargil clash of 1999. The treaty divides the six major rivers of the Indus Basin into two distinct groups. The eastern rivers, the Sutlej, the Bees, and the Ravi, were allocated to India, while the western rivers, the Indus, the Jhelum and the Chenab, were allocated to Pakistan. India's rights on the western rivers are limited. It may use the water for runoff Da River hydroelectric projects, for domestic purposes such as drinking and sanitation, for a defined amount of agricultural use on specified tributaries, and for non-consumptive purposes like navigation and flood control. What India cannot do is build large storage dams, divert substantial quantities, or otherwise alter the natural flow of those western rivers in a way that would affect Pakistan's entitlement. Turning to the Sawalkot project itself, it is useful to place it alongside other major Chenab schemes. The Baglihar Dam, also in Ramban, with a capacity of 890 megawatts, is already completed and was the subject of a neutral expert arbitration in 2007, which ultimately favored India. The Dulhasti plant in Kishtwar, generating 390 megawatts, and the Salal Dam in Raisi, at 690 megawatts, are both operational. The Ratleh Dam in Kishtwar, slated for 850 megawatts, is still under construction and currently faces a pending arbitration case at The Hague. Why did India suspend the treaty in the first place? After the Pahalgam terror attack in April 2025, which New Delhi says was carried out by Pakistan-linked militants, India announced a suspension, arguing that it gave the country greater flexibility to design and execute projects on the western rivers, the Chenab, the Jhelum and the Indus, that were previously constrained by the treaty's non-consumptive use clause. The fast-tracking of the Sawalkot project is the most concrete expression of that policy shift. By pushing ahead with the 5,129 crore tender, India is effectively saying that the treaty's notification and consultation requirements no longer bind it while the suspension stands. Legally, the situation is far from straightforward. The Indus Waters Treaty contains neither an exit clause nor a provision for suspension, which means that, under its own terms, a party cannot unilaterally terminate or pause the agreement. India's legal position rests on the argument that Pakistan's support for cross-border terrorism creates exceptional circumstances that amount to a fundamental change of circumstances, a concept drawn from Article 62 of the Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties. Pakistan, however, counters that political events cannot override treaty obligations, that the treaty remains governed by international law, and that the threshold for invoking Article 62 is extremely high, a threshold that has never been successfully met in international jurisprudence. Most scholars of international water law therefore conclude that the treaty continues to be in force and that India could only formally exit through a mutually agreed amendment under Article 12. Strategically, the acceleration of Savlakot sends a clear signal. The 1856 megawatt capacity will not only supply electricity to northern India but also underscore India's sovereign control over the Chenab waters. By coupling the suspension with rapid project implementation, New Delhi is using water infrastructure as a strategic lever against Pakistan. Pakistan's response, formally invoking the treaty's consultation mechanisms, aims to assert that the treaty remains operative and to compel India either to respond through the established channels or to refuse outright, thereby strengthening Pakistan's legal standing before the Court of Arbitration. The Indus Waters Treaty provides for a three-tiered dispute resolution mechanism. The first tier is the Permanent Indus Commission, a bilateral body with one commissioner from each side that meets at least once a year, conducts site visits and resolves technical questions. Pakistan's current request for information and consultation is being made at this level. If the commission cannot settle a disagreement, the second tier comes into play, a neutral expert appointed by the World Bank to decide specific technical or engineering questions. The 2007 Baglihar case, overseen by neutral expert Raymond Laffitte, is a classic example. The expert largely ruled in India's favor, accepting most of the dam's design while ordering only minor adjustments. The third tier is the Court of Arbitration at The Hague, which handles differences of a legal or interpretative nature that cannot be resolved by a neutral expert. The ongoing disputes over the Ratle and Kishanganga projects have already reached this stage, with Pakistan filing cases and India contesting jurisdiction, leading to a protracted procedural battle. A landmark precedent worth recalling is the Kishanganga hydroelectric project on the Jhelum tributary. In 2013, the Permanent Court of Arbitration allowed India to build and operate the 330-megawatt plant but imposed conditions on minimum flow releases to Pakistan. This case demonstrates that India can indeed construct run-of-the-river schemes on western rivers, but that the arbitration process can impose operational constraints and stretch over many years, leaving projects in a state of uncertainty. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The Indus Waters Treaty was signed on September 19, 1960, brokered by the World Bank, and has survived three wars. The treaty divides the river system so that India controls the eastern rivers, Sutlej, Bees and Ravi, while Pakistan controls the western rivers, Indus, Jhelum and Chenab. India's permissible uses on the western rivers are limited to run-of-the-river hydro, domestic water, limited agriculture and non-consumptive purposes. The Savlakot project, located on the Chenab in Ramban district, will have a capacity of 1,856 megawatts, generate more than 7,000 million units annually, and was declared a project of national importance back in 1984. The tender floated by NHPC in February 2026 is valued at 5,129 crore rupees, with bids to be submitted from the 12th to the 20th of March 2026, and the construction schedule envisages 3,285 days. Other Chenab projects include Baglihar at 890 megawatts, Dilhasti at 390 megawatts, Salal at 690 megawatts, and the under-construction Ratle at 850 megawatts. The dispute resolution tiers are, first, the Permanent Indus Commission, second, the Neutral Expert, and third, the Court of Arbitration at The Hague. Notable precedents are the Baglihar Neutral Expert Award of 2007, the Kishanganga PCA Award of 2013, and the ongoing Ratle arbitration. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? For the prelims, remember the date of the treaty, 19 September 1960, the three rivers allocated to each country, the role of the World Bank, and the fact that the treaty has no exit clause. For the mains, you can be asked to discuss India-Pakistan relations in the context of water security, to analyze the dispute resolution mechanisms under the treaty, to evaluate the strategic implications of India's suspension, or to assess the legal arguments surrounding the Vienna Convention's fundamental change of circumstances doctrine. In closing, the revival of the Indus Waters Treaty debate through the Savlakot project reminds us that water is not just a resource but a potent instrument of geopolitics, capable of shaping diplomatic narratives, influencing regional security, and testing the resilience of international legal frameworks.